The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
Are you ready? That's a question we hear a lot of times in a variety of contexts, but no more so than at this particular time of the year as we gear up for Christmas. So I ask you again, are you ready? And of course, for most of us today, I suspect the answer is no. I'm not ready. I still have cars to send, presents to buy, decorations to put up. I've still got to buy some special food and drink for the holidays. No, I'm not ready. But you know what? We've all been through this before. And if we spend the next 3 weeks using our time right, we can get ready. Ready to enjoy the holidays when finally they come. In fact, the real challenge for this time of year is not so much getting ready for the holidays, but finding time to answer that same question, are you ready, as it pertains to Advent? For the point of Advent is not just to get ready for Christmas, but to get ready for Christ. So I ask you again, are you ready? Now I suspect that the answer does not quite come so readily to our lips. I think I'm ready. I want to be ready. But am I really ready for Jesus? And what should I do to be ready in the first place? Indeed, what does it mean to be ready for Him? Well, I think this morning's scripture reading helps us answer these questions. It tells us what it means to be prepared for Christ in the form of a prayer by the Apostle St. Paul for the Colossian Christians. Having heard of the Colossians, but not yet having met them, St. Paul prays for them. And he prays, first of all, that they, and I'll quote here, might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Knowledge of God's will. Well, that sounds easy enough, especially at a place like this, where we are in the business of supplying knowledge about God and His will, where you expect not to just to spend a few weeks, but a few years studying your Bible, learning your doctrine, learning your church history, and then also how to apply all of that knowledge to God's people. And to be sure, knowledge of this sort is a great preparation for Christ, at least in part. For God has revealed Himself, revealed His will in the form of words, in a book, words that form sentences, words that form propositions, propositions that can be read, memorized, and learned. But there's more to it than that, much more. For Paul is not talking about learning for the next test. He's talking about learning for life. And therefore he speaks of spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual wisdom. Since for this kind of knowledge, we need lessons from the Holy Spirit, who speaks to our spirits. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks to our very existence. And unfortunately, this kind of knowledge can sometimes be harder to obtain at the seminary than at other places. Because here theology, like nowhere else, is treated as an academic discipline. It's taught in a classroom. And we hold you accountable in the form of papers and tests. So we expect you to master God's truth intellectually, just as you would any other subject in any other school. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and religion. Just like all the rest. Oh, it's not that the seminary is such a bad place. I kind of like it here. So don't get me wrong. The problem is not with the institution, but with us. And the temptation comes from our own hearts, students and professors alike, to treat theology as if it were only an academic discipline and nothing more. And that means to so objectify it that we are able to separate it from our own personal lives. Or to put it more simply, to let theology go into our heads, but not into our lives. So, we study, we learn, we read, we write, we even talk about God's Word. But do we take the time to meditate upon it, to pray about it? Do we remember to apply any of this learning to our own lives? Or is it all just about a quest for grades and commendations, for graduation and ultimately a good job? Well, that won't do, not in preparation for Advent, because St. Paul goes on to explain that the purpose of this knowledge is that we might live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Now, that's certainly more than getting an A on a test, isn't it? To live a life worthy of the Lord and to please Him in every way. In fact, I dare say the learning is the easy part. We know what God wants from us. Our Lord Himself reduced it to two commandments: love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Learning it is not the hard part. Doing it. Yeah, doing it. That's the problem. We know what to do, but we don't want to do it. Love my neighbor? Who wants to do that? You've got to be kidding. And you know, really, it's this attitude that I think is one of the reasons that we do not take time to meditate upon the Word, that we do not take time to apply it to our lives. It's this attitude that permits us to tell ourselves, oh, I'm too busy. I'm too busy learning, I'm too busy teaching to think about it. We don't like the results when we actually do think about it in the context of our lives, not one little bit. It's a whole lot easier to do well on a test or a paper than it is to live a life worthy of the Lord. It's a whole lot simpler to prepare something for a classroom than it is to live a life that's worthy of God. But if we take the time actually to measure our readiness for Jesus in terms of doing God's will, you know, we might begin wondering how prepared we really are for Advent. We might begin wondering whether we're prepared at all. Given then the reality of our inadequacies, and the Colossians weren't any different, it's perhaps surprising that as the apostle continues his prayer, he assumes that those for whom he is praying are actually going to do this, are really going to measure up to the twin commandments of love and live a life worthy of the Lord. But then he explains, when he writes, giving thanks to the Father who has made us fit to share in the inheritance of saints, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of His Son. His Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. You see then, the basis for all of our doing, preparing for Advent, getting ready for Jesus, is the gracious work of God who has already made us ready for Him. And the real tragedy of learning God's Word without applying God's Word to ourselves is that we miss out on all of God's gifts. Everything that we ever need in terms of preparation through His mercy and His grace in Jesus is right here. And we forget that in the midst of our inadequacies, failures, and sin, there is forgiveness, there is redemption in Christ. Here then is the strength of our lives. Here is the power for doing God's will. Not in ourselves, but in Christ. For by his accomplishments of life, death, and resurrection, he has destroyed the power of sin, death, and devil in our lives, so that we've been freed from everything that would drag us down, so that we can now grow in the knowledge of his will and live the lives that are worthy of him, just as the apostle prayed. So, here we are at the beginning of Advent, a time of preparation. And I ask you again, are you ready? Well, you may or may not be ready for Christmas, but I can tell you this, you are ready for Advent when you learn and believe God's word. For this is a message from God, not just to others, but to you. And what does it tell us about readiness? It says simply this, because of Christ, you are always ready for Christ when you are in Christ. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.